This is Areli Enriquez.
This is Ariel Acosta.
And this is Chrissy Flamer.
We also have Jackie Vigil on editing and research. And today we're recording the Literature Review podcast.
So today's topic is how race and racism is connected to the bankruptcy in San Bernardino. So initially when I started looking into this, I ran into just a whole bunch of articles pretty much, because I didn't see any really scholarly articles on anything, just hold on publications. And I initially saw on the Sun paper, it said an attorney's move to collect $1.4 million San Bernardino had agreed to pay to the families of three men killed by police prompts an early bankruptcy filing to avoid paying the settlements. So, and then I thought, oh, who are these three people? So, and then I looked into that, and the three individuals are Jerry L. Deshaun Allen, Cedric May, and Terry Wayne Jackson. Just so happens the three individuals are black males and were killed under the custody of or in contact with the police department, the San Bernardino Police Department. And so it was on the information I found, it was saying that it was because of the three cases and the settlements due to the three cases that San Bernardino was going bankrupt. But I think we found some more information as well. There is also blaming the police department.
Yeah, in addition to the three articles that you had found about the murders of the three individuals, I also found a lot of articles that they were stating. It's just basically a huge fight between the politicians and the union reps. I found an article where they were saying that public safety is to blame for our bankruptcy in a July 15, 2012 article by Jim Christie and Tori Richards called Political Feuds Denial Drove San Bernardino to Bankruptcy. There's a individual named Charles McNeely who resigned from his post as a city manager after he warned the city that they were facing a $210,000 financial deficit. He said, I'm sorry, a $210,000 financial ruin on top of an already $40 million deficit that we had for that current fiscal year. And that was only for that year, so there was plenty prior to it. But in this article, he's basically saying that the city calculated that public safety spending now accounts for 73% of our general fund budget, which is a lot. And then our mayor, Patrick Morris, at the time, was basically accusing the firefighters union as being the main source of issue for the fiscal budget deficit because they continuously get raises and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. It's expensive to maintain our fire departments, but I do remember not that long ago, we had a significant amount of fire departments closing in our city.
What?
Yeah, we did.
Didn't you notice? Because I've seen several stations, like abandoned police stations. So, I mean, firefighter stations over the time. But this article just has a lot of scandal, if you will. There was another gentleman by the name of James Penman, who was a longtime city attorney. He stated that ahead of the bankruptcy vote that financial documents had been falsified for 13 of the last 16 years, but then later not recanted his statement, but kind of lessened his statement by just saying that there was evidence of suggested wrongdoing and they had turned it over to unnamed government agencies. And after a lot of pressure, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department confirmed an investigation related to allegations of possible criminal activity within the Department of San Bernardino City Government. But then they later got a new witness, Matt Wilson, who was the accounting firm, and he audited the city's finances each year since 2007, said he had no idea what Penman was talking about. We didn't find anything that misrepresented, he said. And then the interim city manager, Andrea Miller, who took over after McNeely quit suddenly when he announced the deficit, said that a switch in a financial system software has uncovered some accounting errors, but nothing significant. So basically, that would mean that this whole article held no significance. So then that leads us back to your statement of the bankruptcy being caused by these payouts. It was $1.2 million, but then you, in your article, it also mentioned that there was hundreds of other.
There were. It said something about hundreds of others who have sued the San Marino for injuries and deaths allegedly caused by the police officers and employees. Kind of going back to that, we were just kind of thinking about as far as these certain things that are being blamed for the bankruptcy, such as the police department. They're saying, oh, there was one article I was reading that was saying something about, while we understand the city's bleak financial position, profound pain and suffering nevertheless resulted from the actions of the officers, like completely taking all the blame off the city officials, but fully putting the blame on the police officers. And this is by the Enterprise, which I'm not a little bit surprised, actually, because, you know, it's from Riverside, so. But in the same article, they also said, oh, and for victims to be shorted because of their mismanagement and irresponsibility led to the bankruptcy morally irreprehensible. So, I mean, it kind of, like, contradicts itself as well when it's saying that, poor city, they're going through a really hard time. But in the same sense, you know, they're blaming all the fault to the police officers. I also saw something else. It was reporting that the monies that, well, the retirement plans and the salaries that the staff are getting in San Bernardino is, okay, and it says exactly on here, it said, employee compensation has become a popular scapegoat for the city's financial troubles, Penman said, but it's not that simple. Salaries are based on other cities. The city charter requires that police and fire salaries be average 10 like-sized cities, and other departments follow similar procedure. And pensions are also in line with other California cities, which led me to think about what other cities are also doing the same sort of thing.
In my, I actually found an article that closely tied us and kept relating us to Stockton, California, that was also suffering through the exact same issues that we were having with the emergency petition for the Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
That's okay. I just wanted to cite that last article was Blame Game on How San Bernardino Came to File for Bankruptcy by the Sun, and it was published on 2013. You're saying Stockton?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the first one thing about Stockton is that the city first ran into serious trouble when their housing market collapsed. And since when they've entered, what may best describe as a downward spiral. Another thing is that, like, public funding has been slashed, including funding for the police, and as a result, the crime rate has surged, based on what I found on this article.
By Stockton.
By Stockton. by Stockton, California.
Yeah.
With that being said, that leads me to the article on CNN.com that is entitled San Bernardino Files for Bankruptcy that was published on August 2nd, 2012. That states that Stockton and San Bernardino's fiscal troubles are due in large parts to the massive housing downturn and recession that swept across California. And it states that both of the cities were particularly hit hard by the foreclosure crisis, which left numerous abandoned homes, reduced property values in its wake. Then that led to lower property tax revenues, critical to supporting all the public services that they're essentially blaming for the bankruptcy itself. And then we have Chris McKenna, who is the executive director of the League of California Cities, says that a lot of the Golden State, which is California, is starting to recover. However, Stockton, California, and San Bernardino are not of the two recovering. By filing for bankruptcies, the cities will be able to keep police and firefighters on the street and possibly keep some parks and libraries open while they work out the finances, he said. So that definitely makes sense why public officials would go straight to blaming the police officers and firefighters since they got to essentially keep their jobs.
Well, you said what you said earlier. You said that because public service takes 73%
of the fiscal budget, yeah.
Yeah, but so thinking of all the things, you know, they're blaming the victim settlements, they're blaming the police, they're blaming the firefighters, they're blaming the housing crisis.
Yeah.
But what is the real reason why the bankruptcy in San Bernardino happened? That's a big question there. And so, whoa, did we find some stuff? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, a lot of it pertains to the misappropriation of funds. A lot of money being mismanaged. A lot of money being spent before they actually had it in their hand. Because in this article by the Times editorial board called San Bernardino Bankruptcy Lesson, No One Wins When a City Goes Broke, they stated that not only were you mentioning your city retirees, but this one states that with San Bernardino's bankruptcy exit plan, retirees that used to get free lifetime health care, in fact, their health care costs were subsidized by the city. Now that ends, so
they have to pay, or they have to find their own.
Yes, the city will no longer provide health care, which it's unfortunate for them, but
we also found some other information as far as why the city was going through bankruptcy. I believe I read besides the fact that they were blaming all these people, but the real problem was this one article, and it's called San Bernardino, California files for bankruptcy with over $1 billion in debts by Tim Reed, and it's from Reuters. And it said something about, in San Bernardino, a recent report by city attorney said that falsified budget reports to the mayor, officials had falsified budget reports to the mayor and the council of 13 out of 16 years, hiding the scale of the city's debt. And it says, city council members have rejected that allegation, part of wider political and legal battle in the city over the San Bernardino's biggest expense, pay and benefits of police, for police and firefighters. But I think that you had seen something else, something about the state, the governor.
Oh, I did. Yeah, going back to that CNN article, the San Bernardino Files for Bankruptcy that was published August 2nd of 2012, it states that cities have also struggled from budget changes made on a state level because of massive budget shortfalls. Governor Jerry Brown and the state legislature made changes to vehicle tax money, redevelopment agencies that strip locals of hundreds of millions of in state funding. So city money that was originally allocated towards cities was then cut from cities. So that would definitely add to the deficit. Also, it said that Some 10 million to 16 million in annual revenue has evaporated in recent years as taxable sales dried up and property values plummeted in the city with the foreclosure crisis, as they call it, taking place.
Didn't you say that we also have to pay for what they've done too, or something like that?
What do you mean?
It kind of also, what? I'm sorry, Chrissy, let me interrupt for 1 second. I kind of saw something else too, where the council was trying to pass a budget that would cut $22 million, including reductions to the fire department and code enforcement, parking, libraries. But the budget also added some positions, including 2 deputy city managers. So it's kind of like, you know, who would these 2 deputy city managers be? Probably somebody's buddy up there they're hiring. But cutting all these budgets from the fire department and the code enforcement, parking, libraries. And I noticed that the library's hours have changed as well.
Significantly, they have reduced the lighting. Hours? Not on campus, like the Feldenheim Public Library, the Dorothy Ingram. All of those libraries have seen significant reduction. I visit the library frequently with my children, so I've noticed that they do have signs that say reduced lighting due to budget cuts. So when you go in, it's not as illuminated inside, which is pretty
dark inside,
which is pretty sad. And I think it's counterproductive to whatever you're trying to do in a library, if you will.
Okay, so what happens to San Bruno now that the bankruptcy has happened? You know, what is the repercussions that San Bruno residents and everybody is going to go through due to this? Like, I know you mentioned earlier about the city retirees. I forgot what article that was that you were, the city retirees would lose their health benefits.
They definitely lose their health care benefits. I forgot what article that was, though. It was subsidized, and they would get free health care for their lifetime. But after the bankruptcy, that no longer is the case anymore. Also, with the bankruptcy, a lot of public services were cut, like you mentioned, the library, the fire department, the parks and recreation, which we see. I don't know about you, but I don't even take my kids to the park anymore because they're in such distress.
Yeah, and their bathrooms are locked. So, like, under this, there's one thing that came to my attention, which is, like, under the city's recent proposal to exit bankruptcy protection that still needs a judge's approval, she might get only 1% of what the city settled for.
So the settlement, right? You're talking about one of the settlements that they're giving out, right?
Yes. Actually, I was like just talking about like how since the city is making all these mistakes, what me and Ariel said earlier, like, we have to pay for them, right?
We definitely do now with higher taxes in general. But I think in that article, it's referring to the $1.4 million that the city was allocated to pay back and only paid back 15%.
Or will, right?
They paid back 15% of that debt before filing for the emergency bankruptcy. And then basically, scapegoating on that. Blaming or using that as the epicenter of the city's financial deficit and crisis, and basically stating that the city had to file for bankruptcy for the police misconduct, which is why also the police department caught a lot of flack for the bankruptcy, which would make sense because it would be in large parts their fault if that were the only case, which it's not. This is more like a scapegoating situation like we saw in
the 3 situations?
What other situation was this like? And we talked about it during the semester.
Oh, the Saigu?
Yes, there you go. I couldn't remember how to pronounce it. Yeah, when they scapegoated with the Korean population against the African American population for the
I feel like the government riots. I know the government just protected the white properties and let everybody else kind of go free on their own. And I think Chrissy was mentioning this, the exit plan for the bankruptcy, what they were doing in order to protect the assets. They reduced the, I know that I saw this. It said that they reduced the debt that they had with the settlements to 1%. But of course, I'm sorry, Ariel, I forgot your name. Ariel, already mentioned they already paid 15% of it, but they also mentioned the Wall Street Journal notes that Detroit also got permission to cut its settlements. So San Bruno's not the only city that's doing it. There are other cities that are doing it as well. So it says here that San Bruno is faced with 109 lawsuits seeking for a total of $19 million in personal injury and bodily injury claims against the city and its employees as of November 25th of, what year is this? Uh, 2016, and it's in the article, San Bruno Police Abuse Victims May Get Screwed Over Bankruptcy.
So yeah, I definitely saw, so we pulled out of bankruptcy in 2017, I'm sorry, allegedly, and then we had 30 days after the date to start paying back the debts, if you will, but I noticed when I was doing research in the homeless population, which is affected by services that being cut, the deficit or whatever, that since we've pulled out of bankruptcy, actually the number of unsheltered homeless has skyrocketed. So if we're out of debt, I mean, out of bankruptcy, which I get, now the city now has to pay back the debts that it was. So there's still not enough allocated funds to fund these programs. Uh-huh. But in 2018, there was 2,118 homeless individuals. And in 2019, for preliminary readings in January is when these take place, it was 2,607 homeless individuals. And I mean, those are just preliminary numbers. And those are
repercussions from the bankruptcy that we're dealing with right now.
Yes, and this all comes from a article called, or I'm sorry, a journal, if you will. It's called the San Bernardino County 2018 Homeless Count and Subpopulation Survey Final Report, which I got from the sbcounty.gov website. That's definitely saying a significant amount, because in 2018, it was on the census.gov website. It states that a median household income is $57,000 a year, and that a greater majority of 18% of our population live below the poverty line, which, I mean, I'm not surprised. Also, it states that shockingly, 80% of our population is a school graduate or higher. Definitely found a lot of blame game. I mean, my freaking 11 and 9-year-old play that game where, you did it. And it's kind of sad to see that it's happening at our government official level. So there's definitely a lot of information that's being redacted to public service, or especially with that claim that the John Penman, what's his name, mm-hmm. made, that there was the falsified records and then the auditing not showing up anything except computing errors and whatnot. That just all doesn't make sense, because he was in such a high position, or I'm sorry, his name was James Penman, as being the longtime city attorney, to just suddenly turn his back on the city and say that there was documents being falsified. And then all of a sudden we have all these people that come out of the woodwork to deny his allegations.
Of the information we found, we're blaming the outside agencies opposed to blaming the real root of what actually happened in San Bernardino.
Yes, yeah. And it's just puzzling that a lot of the information is coming from, not from, like, I'm not saying that they're not trusted news sources, but they're definitely biased. Uh-huh. And a lot of it is quoting city officials.
It is, yeah.
But it's not coming from city officials, if you will. So the key researchers on this topic are essentially going to be the journalists.
Journalists, exactly.
Who are going out and they're being able to get like a quote from him, a quote from him, a quote from him. And then they're compiling and building stories based off of basically he said, she said.
Yeah.
So with that being said, San Bernardino is actually not doing any better today than it was.
So it's pretty much the same thing from before.
If they don't start to really fix the budget and really stick to the budget, they're not going to be able to. Well, because I think you were saying something about, we were saying something about the budget was also, they kind of lied to the mayor about what money we really actually had to budget on. And we were like borrowing against other revenues or other places in like, I guess, retiring.
Oh, yeah, we were borrowing against other, like, where the money was allocated for. Or, like, basically borrowing money that we didn't have yet, but we intended to have. That's why when they changed those laws and stuff, it hurt so significantly. But in this article called Distressed City Exit Bankruptcy, But More Distress Ahead by Stephen Greenhunt, which was published on June 22nd, 2017, which is, of course, the year that we were pulling out of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And I found this on thespectator.org. It states that the median household income in the in San Bernardino, uh-huh. but it calls it as an impoverished inland city, is just shy of $39,000.
That's the annual income for?
Yes, but our city employees are earning an average compensation package above $114,000. So, how does that make sense? That is so, yeah, it says that those mega salaries don't go to just any top level position. We are definitely lining the pockets of a lot of city officials while we are suffering the consequences.
And so I actually did read one scholarly article called Bankruptcy for Cities. There are downsides, and it says ultimately the bottom line through U.S. cities face serious financial difficulties seeking a resolution through bankruptcy is providing costly and prolonged. So even though San Bernardino decided they wanted to do that and try to like go around costly things, they're still gonna go through costly things. And that's the future of San Bernardino.
Shouldn't the city like think of a solution to fix all of this?
Well, they had to when they filed for the Chapter 9, they had to come up with these organizational plans as to how we were going to pull out of bankruptcy and how we were going to maintain as a city after we exited the bankruptcy. But I mean, currently we have a crime rate of 56 per 1,000 residents, which says that your chance of becoming a victim of either a violent or a property crime is 1 in 18. And I'm not okay with those, with those statistics. And like George Santanea says, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
Oh, yeah, that's our reality. So this concludes our podcast. My name is Christy.
Areli Enriquez.
And Ariel Acosta.
And I'm Jacqueline Vigil, doing the editing.
And thank you for listening to us, and everyone have a great day. Thank you.